Hey everybody, it's Eric Balance coming to you with the Resilient Minds podcast, where I feature beautiful entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and experts in their field, where they help us discover their X factor, their experience of life, only to discover how they were able to accomplish and find out their Y factor, their big Y, their purpose in life. So join me as we get to discover the beauty of our minds and how can we really continue to go after the biggest and most wildest dreams while we continue to pursue and manifest our greatest intelligence that comes from the heart. Also, if you haven't, go check out the new alignment course that I've created at www.ericbalance.com/alignment, A-L-I-G-N-M-E-N-T. See you on the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Resilient Minds podcast. I'm sitting here with an amazing new friend, Logan Sneed. Logan's been through a tremendous story. I'm really excited to dive a little bit deeper into it. But brother, you know, you've been, you're diagnosed with brain cancer. You've survived it. Brain tumor stage four. And you've been through like a lot and back. And in the meantime, you've been able to publish a book. You're an up and coming public speaker. You're changing the trajectory of people's lives, fitpreneur. Tell me a little bit about you, brother, as you, come onto this beautiful earth and create new magic.
Yeah, man. Well, it's a lot put together. I'll say that. So as I go through this, man, feel free to interrupt me and ask me all these questions.
We're gonna flow, brother.
Yeah, dude, absolutely. Well, March 6, 2016, I thought it was a great day. I thought, I was super excited. I was going to the gym. I felt great, felt energized. And I hopped in my car and I was feeling in such a great mood that I was like, you know what, let me FaceTime my girlfriend. And this is my ex-girlfriend. And I was like, hey, just going to the gym. I don't know. I decided to call you. Hope you're having a great day. Whatever. Feeling great today. Hope you're having a great day. And as I'm doing that, I start slurring my words. And like, it was just the weirdest feeling I ever had in my life. It's almost like you know exactly what you want to say, but you can't you can't physically say anything. And it just doesn't come out. And so I started slurring my words. And boom, I just started having a seizure in the middle of that. And there was, again, I was FaceTiming her. She watched the whole seizure. I was driving my car and, it was a moment that I'll never forget, especially before the seizure, because, I ended up seizing and I drove half a mile unconscious and there was no actually damage to the car. There was no like physical injury or anything like that. So I ended up in a ditch. And again, this is one of those like miracle sort of things where like I was driving full throttle, like high 60 miles an hour on the side road of a highway and boom, straight into a ditch. And then finally I just woke up in the hospital and, of course they were like, well, okay, is this guy on drugs? Is he like done this? And they're like, no, he's never done any of that stuff. So they did all these like tests of every single thing they could possibly do. Nothing would show up. They're like, okay, the only thing that we could do here is do an MRI. So literally did an MRI and they came back and said, okay, this is pretty serious. We don't know what's in his brain. We don't know if it's a mass, if it's a tumor, if it's just something there, but he definitely has to talk to a neurologist. And so literally the next day, like 24 hours later, I go and speak with a neurologist and the guy said, okay, this is very, very, this is a big mass in your brain. You've got to go talk to a neurosurgeon. So literally within that next day, this is all within 48 hours, I go see a neurosurgeon right here in downtown Austin. And the neurosurgeon said, yeah, this is serious. This is serious. Like this is a big mass in your brain. And he said, dude, I just got to say this, with where your tumor's at in your brain, if we do a surgery, you're probably not going to be able to speak or hear after this surgery. And so I heard that and I was like, whoa. I was like, life is feeling amazing. And suddenly just went boom, a complete 180 within 48 hours to now I would be basically like almost mute if I did a surgery, or if I don't do a surgery, I could potentially die. So it's like one or the other, you can kind of choose your poison. And so I left that meeting with that doctor with my parents, and my parents were like, we're going to find somebody better. Like that guy, he didn't seem all that serious about solving the problem. He just was kind of wanting his paycheck and doing the job.
Just focus on the problem rather than the solution.
Exactly. And the neurologist I saw before, he said, dude, you have to have a surgery ASAP. This guy, the neurosurgeon, said, yeah, you definitely do. But by the way, I have a vacation I got to go on with my family, and I'll be back in like 2 weeks, and then we'll kind of figure it out, which is basically saying like, hopefully you're not dead by then. And if you're not, we'll do what we can. So we left there, and I was able to get connected with the top brain surgeon in the world. His name is Dr. Raymond Sawaya. Hope no one on here ever has to have brain surgery, but if you do, look the guy up. He's an absolute beast.
Thank you, Dr. Raymond.
Yeah.
Bless your heart, my dear brother, wherever you may be.
Yeah. Dr. Raymond Sawaya. And I said, look, doctor, am I going to be able to speak here after this surgery if you're doing this thing? He was like, dude, of course. You're fine, dude. I got your back. Don't even worry about it. He said, disregard what that dude said. I got your back. This will be phenomenal surgery. And I was like, whoa. I was like, all right. And he goes, but we got to have surgery like tomorrow morning as soon as possible. And I was like, whoa, okay, sure, let's do it. And so literally I just went that whole day for like probably 12 hours of just doing all these physical, like this training to see if I could do these different motions and do these different, you know, whatever, to just see how I was operating. It was such a stressful day because, again, I was so excited to go to the gym, and now I got to do freaking like, if I can even touch my nose or like do these things. And then I suddenly just passed out. I was so stressed. So then that next day, that next morning at literally 5 a.m., I had to be up and at it, ready to go to the hospital for the surgery starting at probably about 7:30. And so I go into the hospital, and just imagine like you're going into such a dark, saddening, depressing, fearful environment. I walk into the hospital. There's always, you're walking down this aisle, if you will. It's almost like you're walking down in a church. Okay. So imagine this, you're in a church, you're walking down the aisle, or in a wedding, right? There's this group here, this group here, this group here, this one, this one, this one, this one. And you walk by and it's just dark, and you see people bawling their eyes out for their mom about to have surgery, or their brother about to have surgery, or this person just died. And it's just like, so like, it just gives me the chills every time I imagine it. And I go in there, and then I get put onto my little stretcher, right? They put the stretcher on there. They bring in sort of a, you know, a pastor or whatever to say the prayers of like, okay, God forbid, like something happens, like this is what we have to do, sign my waivers, everything. And then boom, they start taking me out, and I just have to say goodbye to everybody. And so like the surgery was like 8 hours long, and they said, hey, look, like, in this surgery, you will be awake, okay? Not the whole time, but we will be waking you up to kind of ask you these questions to make sure that you can still talk, you can still hear. If you can't, we will have to cut the surgery short, but if you can, we're going to keep going as far as we can go. I was like, okay, for sure. So I go into this thing, and obviously it's all good now. I can still speak and hear, right?
No, but you know, bro, I just want to acknowledge the courage because that's what I feel. Right. So as you're sharing this, bro, I'm feeling what you were probably going through. My perception is that, you know, there was a lot of fear, there was a lot of uncertainty, there was a lot of like, you know, you were really attuned to allowing this doctor and the people that were serving you. You were offering them trust. And I just want to acknowledge the trust that you created in yourself in that moment. And that takes great courage. That takes great importance of the level of attunement that you really had to yourself in trusting that you are going to actually offer this wisdom, this internal compass, internal grace to the doctors before knowing what the outcome was going to be. You know, you had the amplified connection prior to where the doctor was allowing he was communicating to you his certainty in service.
Yeah.
And you, as a result, were able to offer as well. So the trust that he had himself created the trust in you to therefore step into courage in that moment to say, goodbye, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and I'll be back.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, that's exactly right. Because, like, again, what, like, the energy, whether it was a God, whether it was just an energy, like, I was like, all right, if this dude has the tenacity to say that, like, going into a brain surgery, I was like, this dude is the real freaking deal. Because I can guarantee you I personally would almost have a hard time saying that. Because God forbid something happens, like, he could get massively sued, right, for saying something like that. But he's like, forget it, I don't care, I'll get it done. And clearly he did, right? So they wake me up in the surgery to ask me these questions. I was just answering them as, like, as sharp as I could, just so they could see, like, okay, he's good. So I'll never forget being woken up and just being asked, like, you know, who's president? Okay, where do you live? You know, what's your brother's name? And I was like, okay, Tyler. I was like, Caden. I was like, Austin, Texas. Just, like, spitting it out as best as I could. And and then the surgery after 8 hours, completely done. And so here's where it kind of, again, this is what the whole journey is like, right? So, like, after the surgery, the full mass is what they called it, tumor, was completely removed. And they said, hey, look, the whole thing was completely removed, 100%. But we don't know what this type of tumor was. We don't know if this was just a malignant, a benign, or stage 1, 4, 2, whatever. We just don't know. So we're going to have to look at that and find that out. So I was just kind of like, cool. I mean, it looks like it's all gone. Like, do your thing. Like, whatever you got to figure out. Like, life goes on for me.
I love this part of you where there's like this child of presence where you're like, oh man, like, things are done, let's go, let's keep playing, you know? Like, I love that. It's beautiful, yeah. Bro.
Yeah, well, I mean, especially when they say, hey, it's all gone, there's nothing left in your brain. I was like, cool, awesome, like, all good. Got a story to tell, right? And then, like, finally, a week or two goes by, and I come back to get the diagnosis. Now, getting the diagnosis was probably the most life-changing moment of my life, for the worse and then for the better, right? So I go in there, and again, I'm not worried about it. Like, the whole thing's gone. So, like, what's there to worry about, right? And so she goes, the doctor does not literally look me in the eye at all. Like, when I'm meeting her, I'm trying to shake her hand. Hey, doctor, like, it's good to meet you. She doesn't even do that. And then, boom, that made me like, all right, why is she acting like this?
Of course.
It's kind of weird. It's fishy. So then she goes, hey, look, so this is a stage 4 glioblastoma brain tumor. This is a very malignant tumor, and it looks like your life expectancy is about 1 to 10 years. Now, the only things that we can do here is going to be radiation, chemotherapy. There's nothing else that we believe will work. We're just going to do the best we can to elongate your lifespan as much as we can. And that's when, boom, I just felt like I added probably 100 pounds on my back, right? You know, when people are so depressed and they've got so much weight on their back, we look at people, we're like, why is that person walking like they're about to fall over? And obviously every situation is completely different. But for example, just imagine as if I was walking like I couldn't walk. Not because my legs couldn't handle, it's just my body couldn't. So my dad goes, well, hey, hold on. Is there something that he could do or not do? Like, should he eat this, do this, not do that? And the doctor goes, no, I mean, nothing's going to work. I mean, like, just nothing really is going to fix this. And he goes, okay, so a beer and a burger is okay for him to have, and that's just not going to, like, that won't hurt him and that won't help him. She was like, yeah, that's correct. Like, that's, he can go have that stuff and that's fine. And that's whenever I was like, it was an anger, right? And I don't, like, I don't, no hard feelings to the doctor. She's just doing her job, right? But at that moment, I was like, I almost want to say, like, F you, like, you, that's all you think that there is, and you have the most difficult job in the world to be a neuro-oncologist. Like, that's the most difficult job in the world, and that's all there is, and you just suddenly say there's nothing you can do. Well, shoot, I could do almost a better job. Like, I could figure something out. So when I left there, I was kind of just in this, like, you know, F you sort of mindset, and I was just, like, pissed off, and I was depressed. Pissed off the press, like, at the same time. And it was just so, like, it was so hard on myself, right? And I was obviously getting texts like, hey, what's the update? And I was just like, I honestly cannot handle this. Like, it was so heartbreaking. And so I go home, and I didn't know this until like, I didn't know this until my parents told me, but they were actually doing like significant research on what could be done to make this thing like get fixed and obviously go well. So they're looking at like, you know, this cancer doctor and this cancer research and like, you know, this treatment and that practice and whatever, like all these sort of things. And I was just kind of sitting there like, you know what, forget it. Like, I'll be dead soon. Like, I got, you know, nothing I can do. I'm just going to be wasting time, energy, money, everything, space. Like, what's the point? Just I'll figure it out. Like, I'll die next year. I don't know. You know, so that's how I was feeling. And so then as the weeks go by, I saw one of my good friends, one of my mentors, and we're actually like, so you can't see it obviously, but I live right here in downtown Austin by the Lady Bird Lake River. And yeah. And so I went out there to go paddleboarding with one of my friends. And like, this was like 6 years ago, almost exactly 6 years ago. Okay. He goes, have you heard of the ketogenic diet? And I was like, shoot, dude, never heard of that in my life. He's like, well, dude, you should look at this. And I was like, okay, what's so good about it? He was like, well, they actually do have tumor research on either shrinking tumors or preventing tumor regrowth. And I was like, really? He was like, yeah, I would highly recommend it. He said, basically it's a low carb, high fat diet, or high carb, low carb diet, high fat, low carb diet. And I was like, okay, this is interesting. I was like, because I eat a fat load of carbs and I don't eat much fat, but I guess this is just a switch and that's fine if it works. I was like, for sure, by all means, I'll be glad to do it. And so then I go and like, I stayed up all night. I was like, ketogenic diet. And I'm not hard to convince. Okay. I'm not hard to sell. I can be sold pretty easy, right? I'm not this guy who has to do like this.
Especially when you're looking for solutions, right? Like, I mean, at the end of the day, when you know that your life can be ending and things like this, is like, okay, let's try whatever it takes, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I literally was like, shoot, I got nothing to lose, everything to gain. So what's left here? So I literally just looked it up and I stayed up till like probably 2 or 3 a.m. in the morning, just like figuring this thing out. And I got so excited. Like, maybe this thing was going to work. Maybe it was not going to work. I just got super excited just to try it out. Cause I'm always that person who's like, not that I always have to chase something, but I always love being on a mission. Right, being on a mission, it gives me
the brother.
Yeah, absolutely, dude, absolutely. So the next day, I literally was like, "I'm starting it. I'm doing it right now." Right, and so I literally just made like keto freaking egg muffin, just one little recipe, and I was like, "This tastes really freaking good." I was like, "Man, if I could just like eat this and still be alive and like, you know, prevent tumor regrowth," I was like, "Sign me up. I'm freaking doing it." And so then I just like dove in. And I just like went all full throttle at it. And by no means did I ever like become a keto master or a nutritional master. I just, obviously I had to figure myself out. Right. Because it's like, you want to master your nutrition, like figure yourself out and what you need and then accommodate it towards your health and what your goals are. And so I ended up seeing crazy results physically. And I posted it on social media. It was like a before and after picture. And it's not that I was like overweight or anything, but I was definitely really bulky because I was all about like gaining size and getting like, you know, being the muscle dude. And suddenly I started like getting super lean. And I posted it on social media, and it was while I was going through chemo and radiation. And so people were like, what? No. They're like, you're cropping this. This is fake. Like, you're going through chemo and radiation. You can't see results like this. No way. And so I posted on social media, and like, yeah, dude, exactly. And then there's always that crowd, but then there's that other crowd of like, okay, what are you doing? And I was like, well, I don't know. It's this
curious children.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And I was like, I don't know. It's ketogenic diet or something. They're like, well, what is that? And I was like, well, honestly, like, it's a high fat, medium protein, low carb diet. That's all I could really tell you because I'm still trying to figure it out myself. And people were like, okay, well, can you give me like a plan of kind of what you're doing? And I was like, sure. I mean, I'll just kind of show you what I'll give you a plan of what I do basically. And so I was like, you know what? Like, I'm going to start a business. I was like, what the heck? Why not just start a freaking business? So then I ended up like building out these little PDF programs of, you know, what I eat in a day and like what I do and everything. And so then people were like, okay, well, how much is it? And I was like, I don't know. I just like started making this stuff up. No, I mean, not the meals and stuff, but just the price.
Oh, like, I know. But like, yeah, the price.
I was just like, yeah, $100, like whatever. And so then I was in college in this stuff. And so I was out, it was really my goal. Like the day I walked into that college before this all happened, I told my girlfriend at the time, I said, look, I want to be able to build a business. I don't know what the thing's going to be. I don't know how it's going to go. I want to build a business to be able to drop out of college one day and live financially free. Simple as that. Okay. I was like, degrees are awesome. I don't truly need it to become successful. And so no. Then this whole thing happened and I started end up like, people were really messaging me. I put it on my stories like, yeah, ketogenic meal plan, whatever. And it started really taking off and I started tracking. I was like, oh my God, I made $100 today.
And I was yeah. And you have to celebrate that, right? You're like, oh my goodness. Right. You know, like,
yeah, dude, I had a whiteboard in my, or a calendar nice. Whiteboard in my dorm room. And I was like, oh my God, $200 today. And I was like, oh, 300. And then I'll never forget. I made $500 in a day. And I told my girlfriend, I was like, do you see this? Do the freaking math. 500 times 30. Like, I was like, that's a fat load of money. And I was like, if I keep doing this, like I could drop out and I could build, you know, whatever. And then by the time we're done with college or you're done with college, like, boom, let's go travel. Like we got financially free, whatever.
Let's go see the world. Let's go play in this world. Let's go recognize that this world is our playground. Yes.
Yeah. And so, I started getting super excited. Now I felt like there was hope. I felt like there was something. I was like, okay, if this thing can like save my life, the food's great. I feel great. And suddenly now I'm making money being an entrepreneur. I was like, this is literally like, holy crap. I was like, it's all coming together. And so then I told my girlfriend that. And then suddenly like, it was the weirdest, it was a very, very hard moment, hard time. But as my life, it was like this before everything happened. And then boom, everything happened. And then suddenly when I started building this business, it started going like this. Right? I was getting like super motivated, excited. I saw that there was life. And then I woke up one day, I was dating this girl for four plus years. We saw each other every single day, all the way from high school, all the way through college. And I woke up on Saturday morning to the longest text message of my entire freaking life being left behind. So she broke up with me over a text message, literally like a freaking book. Never saw her again. Not one time. Never saw her again. Never talked about it. Boom, long text, never saw her again. And so that moment I was sitting in my dorm on the floor, just like, honestly, like I'm not going to be Mr. Tough Guy, but I was bawling my eyes out because it was the last persons I had left in my life. Like I was, not that I lost all these friends, but it was just like, everyone's all on their own ventures. And I didn't have any friends really in college. And that was like my last reel basically. Like after that, I was like, okay, this is it. Like I forget the business, forget everything. Like that's it. And I called my mom and I was like, look, mom, I was like, I'm making enough money. Okay. Like I can go live on my own. I can live with you guys, whatever it is, but I'm making more money myself than I would if I got a job. Okay. And if I just kept going through college, I have to get out of here. This is absolutely destroying me. And she came literally within like less than 24 hours, packed up the entire car. Boom. I was out of college. And it was I couldn't be more grateful, but it was one of those things where I was like, oh, I was sitting there for like maybe like 2 minutes. I was like, oh, but hold on. Give it a shot. Okay. Just go through college, you know, kind of like see if it works out. Okay. No. Go pursue your goals and like your business. And so I was kind of like this. And my mom was like, I'll be there tomorrow. Get your stuff ready. We're going to leave. And I was like, okay. And so that made that decision way easier. So I went to go live with my family and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to build up as much money as I can to go live at a great apartment in downtown Austin. And I don't know when that'll be. Maybe it's 4 months, 5 months, 6 months. So 6 months later, I end up going to move to downtown Austin. And it was hard. It was hard. Not, it wasn't financially hard. It was emotionally hard because I had to create a whole new life. I was 20 years old living in downtown Austin. I didn't know anybody, because they're all in their own ventures in college. And I was like, whoa, this is hard. And so suddenly, because what happened was the ketogenic diet was so new. Like it wasn't new, like as far as it being a diet, it was new to society. Yeah. I started getting massive amount of hate on social media, like massive amount of hate because people thought it was fake. They thought I was making this up. They thought it was a scam, whatever. So literally I would wake up every single day and I started going viral on social media. So I started gaining like a fat load of followers, just like boom, every single day. And it was great. And obviously it really helped the business and everything. But geez, I mean, I woke up with like the most horrific comments of like, I hope you die next week. You deserve this tumor. You know, cancer is going to be in you forever and you're going to be dying from like, and I got messages and I was put into like group messages. There was one group. It was obviously I was only one, but there was a group of like four guys that are my age. I don't know who these guys are. Right. Obviously they're gone, but like they were like starting these things, like posting pictures about me that were commenting on every single thing and like just starting this like huge trend of hate towards me. And so I started getting super depressed because I thought like, wow, maybe these people are right. Like maybe I am an idiot. Maybe I don't know anything what I'm talking about. Like, I don't know. Shoot. I don't have anybody left in my life. Like,
and you know what the best thing is, bro? You had the courage to speak up about an experience that literally saved your life and that you felt internally like it can change multiple people's lives around you. And it's usually when people feel that they're so, they see in you what they're missing in themselves, that they usually want to either shut you up or make you quiet or tell you you're wrong. And this is where like our greatest opportunity of compassion comes, you know, of being able to like say, you know, I love you, I appreciate you, I accept you for seeing the world the way that you do. And I'm still going to continue to sing my song.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I wish I knew that back then, because when I didn't have people, I had my family, right. I had my family in my life and that was honestly about it. I did have supporters. I had like, you know, all these people texting me and how are you doing? Like yada, yada, yada. I just didn't have people to hang out with. And I was so fearful of every single thing. And so I started getting super depressed, but again, it was just that thing where a voice in my mind was like, no, 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 just keep going. Like, it'll end up, whatever, it'll end up getting fixed. And now I see it like that. Like, if I get hate like that, like, I just see it as, like, I feel sorry for them because I want them to grow as a person. I know that they're...
You don't even need to feel sorry for them. You just need to have compassion for them, bro. Because yeah, it's, like, the ability for them to see, like, for you to see that, hey, these people are genuinely showing up in the capacity for them to just like truly, there's a limitation inside of them and it's being projected onto you, right? And so this gives you the understanding that whatever has happened, this certainty and trust in what's coming through you, right? Because your connection is so powerful to yourself because you've experienced it. So you know the feeling and you know that this is gonna activate other people. And so honoring that level of space where people are coming from, because people have said to me also like, I'm too much, I need to shut up, all these things. And, you know, it's a common thread, but all I can do is say, I love you. I'm going to continue going though. You know, like it's because the limitation that they see in us expressing and us sharing, it's only something that's projected based off of their own limitation.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly right, man. And it's like they hate you, they chase you. It's as simple as that. And it took me time to understand that and realize that.
Of course. I mean, it always takes time, right? Like, this is the beauty of our journey, right? Like, it doesn't happen immediately, but what we can do is we can, at the end of the day, it's not about, you know, what the outcome is, but who we become on the journey that actually, like, translates our being, our presence to the world.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, man. And my emotions and all those things started going back up. And I was like feeling that there was like, okay, this is good. My business is going great, right? But, right, it's like this. So it started going great. And my mentor, the one who told me about the ketogenic diet, very successful. And he was like, dude, let's do business together. Like, you know, this is how it could work. Okay, I'll get 40% ownership. And I'll help you go blah, 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 blah. And just 21-year-old me was like, oh, of course. Like, dude, you had a role in saving my life. Like, you know, you're already successful. Like, we've known each other for like this long. Like, of course, man, sign me up. I didn't even understand what 60-40 share meant. I just was like, yeah, do it. So I did. And sadly, okay, that whole year, I was just going full throttle just to simply change lives, make money, because I wanted to build up my financial, like, you know, I wanted to become financially free. And I was already at that point, but I was like, I want to build it up to have all that insurance. And like at 21 years old, I just want to be able to do this. And so what was so sad about it is that I thought I was going to get growth in this business working with him. He actually ended up literally going to stay in South Africa for like probably 6 to 8 months of the year. And I literally saw him maybe for 1 hour every other month. And he was on traveling. He was doing this, doing that. And I was putting my blood, sweat, and tears into this thing. And I had to give 40% of my entire business to him for doing almost nothing and investing $0. And this was all done through his own business lawyer. And I didn't understand any of this stuff. And I didn't understand a buyout in a business, right? And so I didn't understand, but I had to have this talk at the end of the year. And I said, look, dude, like I'm putting in my blood, sweat, and tears every single day. And you're across the world living the life. And you're making just as much money as I am, if not more, because I'm the one investing into this stuff. And you're investing $0. Either things have to massively change or we have to end this partnership. And so I ended up having to end the partnership. And it was such an emotional moment because, you know, he was such a close mentor to me and such a, obviously a huge role in saving
my life. You into integrity, brother. This is the most powerful force, 100% integrity, being willing to have that ability to communicate with somebody that you know, that you looked up to. It gives, this is the most powerful force that any person can really offer to anybody, is like, if we're willing to challenge somebody with, when, and it comes from truth, and it comes from this honoring of self, this honoring of your power. You were willing to have, again, enough courage to have that conversation and share your thoughts, your beliefs, your vulnerabilities to him. And as a result, you know, he got to make his own decisions. And at the end of the day, brother, having that internal war is way, it's way harder to have that internal war than to not show up in that level of truth. And this is what I see that is happening a lot in the world, is like people are willing to just say, oh, okay, and sit inside, have that internal war, rather than express, hey, this is how I feel.
Yeah.
So this is beautiful, bro.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I don't know. I was like, this is just so bizarre because I'm doing everything and he's getting more than what I'm getting. So it's like, I'm making somebody a lot of freaking money, working countless amount of hours. He's doing nothing. So I did end the partnership. Now, again, I told him, I was like, if you want your 40% and I have to buy you out, like, that's fine. Whatever you think is the best, whatever you think you deserve, you decide. Sad to say, I did have to buy him out. And I did have to do all that rigorous, you know, pay this 40% buyout and all that jazz. But again, I let it go. And in this time, here's the weird thing. Okay. In this time from, okay, January, literally January, like this exact time is when we literally started working together, building the partnership. Okay. So June comes around, June, July, and I get a message on Instagram from this guy. And he's from Ireland, and he's like, hey, bro, you know, I see your potential. Would love to, you know, chat about, you know, working together and how I could help bring value to the business and blah, 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 blah. I see your potential and where this can go. And I was like, no, dude, I don't know you. I'm good. I already have like a disaster going on right here, but all good. And I just kept saying no. And then again, I'm still like trying to figure this stuff out. And I'm just like, all right, I got to get rid of him. But I don't know nobody. He's your mentor. Like just those thoughts. And then this guy kept coming back and he was like, hey, dude, like, you know, here's an example of something I could help bring to your business and it would be an absolute game changer. Just some thoughts and some ideas. And I was like, no, dude, like, I'm good. Thank you. And he just kept coming back. And I was like, no, okay, I'm good. He just literally kept coming back every single week, almost every other day. And I told him no probably like 400 times. Literally, I told him no.
Resilience.
Yeah, dude. And then December came around. And I got rid of that business partner. And again, voice in me was like, give this guy a shot. Okay. Just give this guy a shot. He wants to be part of your business. He's literally put in more work while being told no than your business partner who isn't doing jack squat, getting 40% of all your money. And this guy, he's already told no, he's done this for you. And he's made $0. And I was like, okay, look, I was like, Garvin, like, bro, like, I'm going to give you a shot, but I want you to know what just happened in my business, okay? This is either the best decision or the absolute stupidest decision I've made, and this would be the stupid decision number two. So I hope that's not the case here. He's like, no, dude. I mean, like, trust me. Like, we make this thing go well. I was like, okay, whatever. So the thing is, this is very risky. Okay, I'm not a lawyer. Okay, but I am a business coach, and it is very risky to work with somebody you've never met in your life and give them 35% revenue share of your business. But now here's the protective part. There's no legal binding in this partnership at all. I would never do this, but I could literally be like, well, I'm not going to pay him this month. See ya.
Yeah.
Right. Or he could end up saying, you know what? I'm going to shut down the whole website tomorrow and I can't go attack. I can't go sue him. He can't sue me. Right. So it's almost like we've got a gun to each other's head, but we're shaking hands at the same time. And I did give him a shot. And in that first month, he made $0 because he wanted to prove to me that, hey, I would get paid per based on our revenue that we make on a monthly basis. So if we make 20,000, if we make 50, if we make 100,000 in a month, I would get 35,000 of that.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. So he's getting paid based on results. And so that kind of gave me some motivation. I was like, okay, so he'd have to prove to me. And if the business doesn't go well, he doesn't get paid much. If it does go well, he gets paid a lot. And so that whole year, dude, the whole business just absolutely took off because it just took off so many different things off my shoulder. It took
everybody was working together in harmony.
Absolutely. Again, it's almost like the superheroes, right? Like the superheroes are the superhero, but they've always got that one little sidekick that they've got to have every single time, right? So long story short, man, we built a whole six-figure coaching business in the fitness nutrition coaching world. And then we ended up building Fitpreneur to become a seven-figure online coaching coaches business. And now we're building simplified scaling to help people scale their online coaching business. We've got a whole funnel system and everything. And we've been doing business together for 5 years. We're absolute best friends. We talk every single day, every single day. And he's in Spain. So he's in Barcelona. And
oh, beautiful. He's not too far from Ibiza.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm going to Barcelona this year for his wedding. And crazy to think about this, dude. Over 5 years, 5.5 years we've been working together. I've only met him once in person. Once. Wow. And that was in Austria. And so, yeah, when I go see him in June, this would be the second time that I've ever seen him in my life. And we've worked together every single day. And so now, literally, like,
you guys should stop in Ibiza together. It'd be amazing to see you guys and say hello.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, dude. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty close, it sounds like. I don't know how far it is, but it's
very close. It's like an hour flight.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, okay. That's awesome. He actually did recommend that place. But yeah, man, I mean, now the rest became history. I've been able to literally, I wrote my own book here called Thank You Cancer. It says F you. But it.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. It's so amazing.
Yeah, but it says Thank You Cancer. And basically the reason I called it Thank You Cancer is just because, like, cancer sucks. Okay. I, by no means am I happy this stuff happened, but I can't go change the past, but I can change the future. I've got to take something that could have killed me. And who knows, maybe I get hit by a bus or maybe something happens, right? I don't know how I'm going to die. No one does, but I'm always going to thank cancer because it gave me the opportunity to change people's life, be on this podcast. And somebody on here is going to hear this, whatever. I mean, maybe one or maybe 100 or 1,000, I don't know. But somebody could hear this and end up realizing that it always seems impossible until it is done. That, like, you could have any problem in your life, you could have the worst COVID, you could have the, who knows, like diabetes, whatever.
You got to face the status quo and say, you know, like that we can challenge, right? We got to go forward.
Absolutely. And that's my mission now is to simply change lives and help people create the best version of themselves. Again, I'm no freaking Hulk here. I'm no like all A valedictorian. I'm just an average Joe that can simply focus on solving a problem and creating the life that I always want.
Creating pollution, brother. That's what we're here as kids to do, man. Our inner child, like when we were kids, right? Because we still are. I really believe I'm like the biggest kid in the world. we focus on creating solutions. This is the only way that we make things happen. We make things change, and we realize at that point we're creatives, creators, creating reality. You know, the physical space that we live in, where we are, is a direct representation of how we feel inside ourselves, you know? And this is like the capacity of creating our heavens inside so we can cultivate it everywhere else that we are. And to me, this is the most important component of understanding. And what I really want to touch on, because I think you said something super beautifully and profoundly, is although circumstance told you that, you know, based off of a past experience, that something, your mind was like saying, no, I don't know, I don't want to, and avoided the situation. Your heart, your trust in yourself allowed you to amplify and give this opportunity with this new individual, your current partner, to explore and expand. And this is the same thing that happened with cancer. You know, you didn't allow that to hinder you. You allowed that to propel you. Same thing with the partner, you know, so your consistency to trusting in yourself, brother, is what's been such a catalyst in your expansion. And I'm excited to, like, for people to hear this story. I'm excited for people to know what you're about. I'm excited to just know you now as a brother, you know, like, it's beautiful to connect. And how old are you now?
25.
You see, the youth of ourselves, the ability, and you know, I'm surrounded by men and women that are 10, 12, 15 years younger than me. I'm 34 myself. And I'm the biggest kid out of all of them. They're like, Eric, it's time to grow up. You know, like, it's so funny. And I learned so much from you, brother. You have so much wisdom, so much expansion. And this has been because the creator has given you the capacity to feel that there's nothing to be fearful of when it comes to death. You know, there's, in fact, there's so much, you got to die before you die to truly live life.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, you're exactly right. Like, death is real, right? We've got to accept death, right? A lot of times people who fear death are avoiding it, right? I'm not saying, you know, start getting excited to die. Okay. That's not
people
what I'm
saying. Fear death avoid life.
Exactly.
You know?
And you've got to, if you are accepting death, you're realizing how important and how beautiful your life is that you currently have, right? So you put it all together, man. Like, you know, I do intermittent fasting every single day. I still do keto. I do more paleo right now. I've been on keto for, like, hardcore keto for over 5 years. So now I'm doing kind of more paleo, but I'm still doing keto, and no tumor. Been over 5 years, almost 6 years right now. There's not a single trace of the tumor, and it's completely gone. It's 100% fully removed. And it's one of those things where they said this is a one in a million situation where they said, you know, your tumor was a glioblastoma, which is like the worst. It is the most deathly cancer in the world. It's the fastest growing cancer, least funded cancer. And they said that there's no way, right? There's literally no way that if you had a glioblastoma, that your tumor would not be fully removed. And they said yours was fully removed and it was a glioblastoma tumor. They said this is, like, extremely rare. And so I kind of look at it like, I'm like, all right, this 100% happened for a reason. And again, this is part of my story back then, but before this stuff all happened, I really looked up to Tony Robbins, and I always listen to these motivational speakers and stuff. And I heard this one motivational talk. I don't know who it was, like, who gave the talk, but it was somebody talking about, you know,
Tony's events.
What's that?
Have you been to any Tony's events?
No, I haven't, but I definitely want to, obviously.
Please go. Whenever you have an opportunity, please go. And if you need anybody to connect with, I'm happy to connect you with the family there.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Yeah, man. Yeah. No, it's great stuff. And, you know, but I saw this talk, and it was about somebody talking about taking your story to, you know, use that to your advantage and how you can use that to create your life. But then at the time when I heard that, I was like, you know, honestly, it's like, I don't have a story. I was like, I've got a perfect life. Like, I was like one of those 18-year-old kids who was, like, you know, MVP of the basketball team. I had a great family and I had college basketball opportunities, and, like, life was, like, beautiful and perfect. Right. And I was like, I don't have a freaking story. And then obviously years go by and now I have a story, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, man, again, it all happened for a reason, and I couldn't be more grateful to have done it. And I gotta say, I just did a 5-day fast, and that was such an eye-opening time to realize, like, it's all happened for a reason. Like, yes, you know, a beautiful thing in a way. So,
absolutely, brother, dude, I'm so grateful for your story, for you, for what you're doing in the world. Tell me, if anybody wants to know more about Fitpreneur, about Logan, about what you're up to, what's the best way that they can communicate with you, find out more information? And we'll also put all the information in the show notes. So
yeah, just look me up on Instagram or YouTube as well. Just Logan Sneed. You'll find me on there, or you can even just Google me if you want, and you can find, like, you'll see my book on there, or just like look my name up on Amazon. Yeah, and you'll see me there. I'm here to answer any questions, help anybody out, and whatever I can help with. So
amazing, dear brother. I'm super grateful. So I have this last question that I really want to ask you. If you had 3 days left to live, what you've been through, knowing the experiences that you've had, knowing, you know, all that you've, you know, created currently, what would you do?
Man, I haven't thought of that. And this is probably not the most crazy.
Don't think about it, just feel.
Yeah, for sure. This is probably not the most crazy answer that people are like expecting. I know people are expecting for me to say, like, you know, jump off of this and go to freaking whatever. But in reality, guys, like, doing what I'm doing every day is what I absolutely love. And I say that because I love Austin, Texas. I love living downtown. I love the people I'm around. I love the environments. Like, I go do my freaking work at a coffee shop that has 100% organic food, all quality, everything. They know me, I know them. And it's just like such a perfect, it's almost like living in a perfect world, if you will. And like, I couldn't be more grateful for what I really have and just living in the moments that I have. Again, if you asked me that question years ago when I was like not really living in the moment, I'd be like, oh yeah, I want to freaking go to pyramid, whatever. And it's not like I don't want to, it's just that I don't need that to then feel that, right? A lot of people feel like I need to do this to feel that, or if I get this, I'm going to feel that, right? So I don't need something for me to feel good or feel grateful. Like, I'm 100% there living in that moment. So yeah, man, just another day living life, and I'm happy.
Presence, brother. I love it. It's beautiful. Yes. Absolutely. Presence is the ultimate I am, you know, it's the ultimate impact to understanding. And this is probably why the 5-day fast also was such a key component to allowing you to see and pay attention to everything that's happened.
Yeah, dude. Have you done a 5-day fast?
I did a 4-day in the no food, no water in the forest.
Wow. Okay. Respect. Yeah. That's serious. Yeah, dude. I mean, it was such a journey of like, honestly, it's indescribable. Like, it's just like, I could tell you kind of like the emotional, and you know, I'm not even telling you, I'm telling the crowd, like the emotional battle, like, you know, the mental sort of thing, but like, it's there, and it's just you versus you. It's all it is. You're not even that hungry. Like, legitimately, I was not even hungry. And even like before I broke the fast, I thought I was hungry because I was just anticipating to break the fast. Yeah. But it's like, I don't know. It's such a mindset thing, and it's an amazing journey. So,
it really is. It's deep. It's even deeper than mindset. It's heart set.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, and I think that's the biggest component that we get to decipher is like, wow, our will is the will of our creator. Our will is the will that's being served through us as us. And as a result, we get to now provide more value to everybody that we want because we're here in service. You know, we're here to ultimately offer our existence to the betterment of all, to the service of all.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. I mean, again, it's one of those things that it always seems impossible until it is done. You know, like, absolutely. I said the same thing. I was like, I can't do that. No way I could do that. I said the same thing. And then I freaking did it. Like, anyone can do it too. You know, no, I don't, I'm not saying everyone's got to do it or recommend for everybody, but it's obviously possible, you know? So
brother, do you have any last comments or concerns or anything you want to share?
No, man. Again, I take the quote, like, take this quote. Again, it always seems impossible until it's done, right? Like, there's things that are lingering in people's mind. Like, I want to do this and I want to try that, but they always avoid it. And the sad thing is, I'm not saying everyone's got to become an entrepreneur, but what they end up doing is they end up listening to their boss, or they have to go to work, right? Their boss says to do this. And what do? They usually do the work, right? But they do the job, or they do what they have to do. But then when they're trying to talk to themselves, like, hey, you should do this, they don't actually do it. So they don't actually listen to themselves. right? You got to listen to yourself, just like you're going to listen to your boss or somebody else, right? If you listen to yourself, you're going to become free, right? No man can be free if he can't master himself. It's as simple as that.
Yeah. Blessings to that. Yes, bro. Thank you so much, bro. Don't go anywhere, but thank you so much for coming on the show. And I'm honestly grateful. We'll talk soon, bro.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, everyone, and thank you so much for listening to The Resilient Minds. I hope you enjoyed the show. Please make sure to go comment and like and follow us on iTunes or Spotify. And make sure, please make sure that if you really love this, to share this episode. And make sure that you're inviting all your friends to like it as we continue to unfold what the beauty of our minds does. More importantly, how powerful our heart level of intelligence can be when we combine our heart and our brain together. And more importantly, check out the alignment course that I've created. It's seriously there for you to take advantage of at www.ericbalance.com/alignment. See you on the next show.